ranging from the smallest termites weighing less than 1 gram to the gigantic elephants weighing in at 5,000 kilograms, the most magnificent of animals can thrive on a completely plant-based vegan diet. Their diet range is broad, consuming foods in the form of fruits, vegetation, seeds, and tree nuts grown in nature's best fertilizers, sunshine, soil, and water. Living in accordance with nature, these marvelous herbivores inhabit the virgin forests and native plains of this magnificent planet which we are privileged to share. Each having a vital role in balancing the ecology, they act as Earth's guardian angels, contributing naturally and sometimes silently to life's great symphony. Supreme Master Ching Hai has stated how animals telepathically communicated with her that if they had a choice, they would be vegetarian. In a video conference with our association members in London, United Kingdom on June 13, 2008, Supreme Master Ching Hai explained how the noble qualities of animals naturally lead them to a plant-based diet.
Meat eating is not fit for anyone. Not even animals, but sometimes they don't have choice, they have to do it. You know, even some of the birds, they're supposed to eat some other smaller insect or something, or smaller fish or smaller bird. When I feed them vegetarian, they don't go there to eat fish or other animal. They continue to come to my house to eat vegetarian. Even my dog, they refuse meat. They don't eat meat anymore. After they've been with me and vegetarian, they know vegetarian is good, they don't eat meat.
Hello, nature-loving viewers, and welcome to Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living, here on Supreme Master Television. Today we are continuing our program on the beautiful, elegant, industrious, and intelligent vegan insect, the bee. Bees are well known for the vital role they play in pollination. They keep flora flourishing throughout our world.
Okay, here you can see there's this beautiful vegetable patch, and it's all pollinated by bees. And the fruits are prolific because we have so many bees around. So you've got marrows, and you've got pumpkins and squashes, you've got rhubarb, you've got rose hips for the winter, which we could harvest, and it's all down to bees. And it's just rich, and it's nutrient rich, and it's just perfect. And this is what we will have to live without if we don't do something about it. Now, I mean, these flowers you can see down there, I mean, you've got hoverflies and you've got bees around them, and they are pollinating our food. And without them, we don't have anything. And they're just doing an incredible job. Just everywhere there's life, and everything is working symbiotically. It's just so simple. And this is what provides life for us and for every other creature on the planet.
Miss Fiona Johnson, a British eco-consultant who heads Tierra Verde International, offers solutions to save the precious population of bees.
Basically saying that humans will be wiped out if bees are wiped out.
Yes.
If bees go, we go.
Hand in hand. Yeah, absolutely. Well, for 80 million years, obviously they provide some service and they know what they're doing.
Bees are critical to pollinate about 90 commercial crops worldwide and are indispensable for the survival of many plants and animals as well as human beings. Due to the widespread use of chemicals on crops and the effects of global warming, bee populations are currently experiencing a dramatic decline from what is known as colony collapse disorder, or CCD. When this occurs, all the worker bees desert the hive and leave the queen behind, with the end result of the whole colony dying off. The number of deaths is frightening, with a third of all the hives in the US having disappeared during the winter period between 2006 and 2007. In France and Germany, massive die-offs of bees have been firmly linked with neonicotinoids, a type of chemical sprayed on crops, and is very much like nicotine. A research conducted in 23 US states and Canada found 121 different pesticides in 887 samples of bees, wax, pollen, and other parts of their hives. Insecticides used on blooming plants poison bees and contaminate their food supply. Fiona explains this tragic phenomenon currently plaguing China's Sichuan province, where bees have entirely vanished.
In the 1980s, they started using pesticides heavily in this one area, and it's a mountain region, and they got fruit trees, different fruit trees growing, I think pear. And they sprayed the whole lot and wiped out every bee in the area, to the point where they could not come back, and they still to this day haven't returned.
Because of the pesticides?
Yeah, because of the pesticides and the residue that's left. This is just such a vast amount of area, and the communities in that area cannot do anything about it other than to pollinate their trees themselves. Little tiny tots and old people will go out there, and they will have to go out with the stick and the feather on every single flower. I mean, if you look around at all the flowers that we've got here, if you imagine going and having to touch every single flower everywhere over a whole mountain just to pollinate it, and then they have to do it 3 days later as well to make sure that their trees will bear fruit. Otherwise, the whole place is sterile. And it's purely because of our intervention with pesticides. And you're talking about communities that were on the point of economic collapse and starvation. So they have no choice but to do this. This planet can't survive or can't sustain humanity and everything that we've got, all the other animals, without bees. It's that big a deal. And we've only got 5-10 years left. So we've really got to do something about it now.
Bee population declination has drawn attention from the media, experts, scientists, as well as world governments. According to Jeffrey Pettis, leading researcher at the United States Department of Agriculture's Bee Research Laboratory, one of the best things to help the survival of bees is protect their habitats and the diverse natural environment in cities.
We're at the point of total destruction unless the average person does something, and puts pressure on the multinationals, and they've got to plant everywhere, absolutely everywhere, anything that has a flower, anything that's native to a country or to an area, to an environment, put in. And the important thing is, with bees, is that they need obviously a constant supply of food. So for the whole of their season, which is early spring to late autumn, if there aren't any flowers available, aren't any, anything in flower at the time, they starve. The colony starves. Mm. So what we need to do is provide them with a many varied diet, and that is crucial. But I would really suggest that native plants are the key. The reason why native is important is because it will survive in that environment, and you don't have to nurture it.
Do you think that the bee actually recognises that it is native as well?
Everything has a resonance, and it will grow in a certain area because that's what it's supposed to do in that area.
Professor James Thompson from the University of Toronto in Canada found that the pollination of plants in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado has diminished by half in the last 2 decades. As a result, there have been critical declines in crop yield. Professor Thompson addresses the impact of human-induced climate change on the bees. Bee numbers may have declined at our research site, but we suspect that a climate-driven mismatch between the times when flowers open and when bees emerge from hibernation is a more important factor.
How are bees affected by climate change?
Well, because they can only move 3 miles, any change in their environment, and certain bees like a cool environment, and obviously the weather has been heating up, and they can't cope. So obviously they will die, and they can't do anything about it. They can't save themselves, they can't adapt in time because the change has been so rapid.
When vegetarianism, the noble way of living, returns, we'll continue our program on the lovely, sweet vegan bees and why their survival is paramount for the continuation of planetary life. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television.
Please, it's all down to us. It's all down to us completely. We have to do it. so many industries depend on it. In America, if they lost the bee the way they are apparently going down that route, it will cost them $75 billion a year.
Welcome back to Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living, and our two-part feature on bees and their contribution to the growth of flowering plants and our own food supply. According to scientists and experts, bee habitats are being destroyed through the clearance of land for meat production and single crop farming.
Ultimately, we have got to stop eating meat, certainly in vast quantities. It's not sustainable anywhere. And the reason we've actually managed to survive this long is because most people were 99% vegetarian. You know, throughout history we have been. And with this soy production, unfortunately, 90% goes to feeding animals for meat. A lot of the destruction of the rainforest and everything else. And as you know, that by going vegetarian vegan, you can support 14 times the amount of people. So, I mean, it really is, it has to change. It absolutely has to.
Results from studies revealed although toxins from genetically modified or GM plants were not directly lethal to bees, they could indirectly lead to colony death when the bees failed to collect enough food to sustain the hive. The bees' feeding behaviors were affected when in contact with genetically modified plants. They spent longer times ingesting food and had less time to collect pollens. GM plants, when treated with pesticides, are especially fatal to bees.
There's a really horrible pesticide, and it's a neurotoxin, and basically it weakens the bee, and it's supposed to be an insecticide. But what happens is, with the GM pollen that the bees are picking up, it becomes 45 times more toxic. So you've got a mixture of cocktails of chemicals, basically. So this chemical on its own would do one thing, which isn't particularly good, but then you mix it with a GM plant, the pollen from a GM plant, and basically it's 45 times more deadly. And the effects are showing in our bees and our insect world, and ultimately it will be doing the same to us.
So then, what can we do to save our cherished bees?
Obviously, planting is really important. And I said planting native plants. Hedgerows, joint conservation groups, actually go out there and physically go and help them. Also put the word out, it's really important because everybody really does care and wants to do this. And it's amazing the reaction you get. People go, I didn't know that. And yes, of course I'd like to do that. And I mean, you talk about climate change, and you see the things, if the bee dies out, as the bee dies out, then it's going to affect climate change as well, because it's actually going to make it worse, because literally nothing will be growing other than grasses, and that's not going to be enough to sustain a healthy planet with a healthy ecosystem, with a healthy weather system. Literally, you cannot separate anything in nature. You cannot take anything out of the equation, because everything has evolved symbiotically to support something else. Spraying insecticides, pesticides, means that you're upsetting the balance. But upsetting the balance, then you're going to go completely lose everything that we've got.
During a radio interview with Louise Kings and the Sandman of Ireland's East Coast Radio FM conducted on November 30th, 2008, Supreme Master Ching Hai highlighted solutions to save the bees and benefit our own health.
Using organic farming and eating organic food, we will help the bee population. It's reported that there are several causes for the bee's decline, like genetically modified crops, chemical pesticides, and other spray substances for plants. Climate changes also affect the environmentally sensitive and fragile bees. The pesticides neonicotinoids are banned by some EU countries and may be banned throughout the EU in the near future by vote to protect public safety and wildlife from these dangerous chemicals, as Peter Melchert, director of the Soy Association, stated.
As you can see, all these flowers are just growing in proliferation, and the bees are absolutely loving it. They've got every different kind of variety of fragrant herbs and flowers. They should, in theory, need support with flowers till September, October. However, because of climate change, bees aren't, well, are still flying and looking for pollinating plants in November, which is so sad. So we need to put more plants in like these. But I mean, it's just so easy. All of this can grow. It's really, really simple. I mean, you've got native herbs, you've got sage, you've got bergamots, you've got thymes and everything here, and the bees are just everywhere. And look at this bee here. Well, it's just sitting, it's really happily feeding.
The vegan bees play an integral role in maintaining our ecosystems for the survival of all lives, including our own. We sincerely pray that governments and individuals will work together to save and restore the livelihoods of bees so that future generations are able to enjoy the delicious fruits, nutritious vegetables, and beautiful flowers of nature's bounty. Attentive viewers, thank you for joining us for Vegetarianism, the Noble Way of Living. Coming up next is Between Master and Disciples on Supreme Master Television. Blessed be your noble deeds that help to nurture the balance in our shared home on earth.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/VEG.